Less.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 188, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay, and in their own folly disgraced. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 188.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, in the 6th chapter, in the first 21 verses. John 6, verses 1 through 21. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John chapter 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed Him, because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread, and that these may eat? And this He said to prove Him, and for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, He said unto His disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take Him by force and make Him a king, He departed again into a mountain Himself alone. And when even was now come, His disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, it is in this afternoon hour when we are gathered together in a special service for the installation of office bearers within thy church, that we gather again around thy holy word and everlasting testimony. Lord, it is an institution that is of thee thyself. But we have read also together the many fears that may have been in the hearts of thy disciples. For there were also times when the storms did overcome them, when the wind did blow, and though they were called by thee, yet their hearts were so fearful. And yet thou didst speak unto them to say, It is I, be not afraid. Lord, wilt thou remember these two men that are to be reinstalled in their offices once again? Thou knowest all that lies within their hearts in a personal way. Lord, we beseech thee, may thou remember them each personally, that thou may give them a rich increase of that knowledge of self and of thee, that thy grace may be tasted by them in a rich measure, that they also may be enabled to serve in their offices by that strength of God, that thou may instruct them that they also may be useful in the church to instruct others and to do that labor assigned by thee. Lord, that we as office bearers may never be a scaffolding within thy church that is for the making of that great building, but in the end will be itself cut down and cast into the fire. Then there are times that our hearts also must tremble. Lord, may thou remember each and every one of us, that thou may give an increase in that knowledge of grace, that thou may lead further in those steps, that we may receive all that is necessary to serve the congregation over which thou hast made us overseers. Give us also to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, to do justice and judgment in the midst of the congregation with hearts that are full of love and concern, with truth and honesty before one another as we go together traveling to our long home. Lord, wilt thou look upon us also as a congregation when we are served by the offices in thy church, Oh, that those offices may never testify against us, but that they may be used by thy hand as an instrument to our conversion, to our turning, to our drawing nigh unto the true and the living God, that thou may bless the word which is preached, which is read, the instructions which are brought even within the homes, and that thou would give that many may be added to thy kingdom, yea, that there would not be an hoof left behind of each and every one of us and of our dear children. Give us a concern while it is still a day of grace, that all the things of time and sense may disappear as being so unnecessary, but that we may see that there is one thing that is needful, that it may be bound upon our hearts as parents and as grandparents, that we may be brought in our inner chambers, that we may beseech thee for our dear children and grandchildren, and that thou would work with might and power amongst young and old together. Do look therefore upon our own school, all the teachers that are therein, and all that are connected in laboring for the welfare of our youth. Wilt thou strengthen and uphold them, and give them a little rest in these days, that they may begin again at thy appointed time. And may thou keep each one in safety in all of our ways. Wilt thou look upon each and every one of thy servants? Lord, wilt thou send more servants into thy vineyard? That harvest is great and the laborers are few. Also, our sister congregation in this area has sent out a call to one of thy servants, come over and help us. Lord, may thou be pleased to look upon them. May thou be pleased to send him forth, that he may also help us with all the labors that must be performed in this area, and that thou would also give new ones. May it be in the time that lies before us. Lord, wilt thou work with might, wilt thou work with power in the hearts of those whom thou wilt call and send forth to put thy own word in their mouth, and that the congregations may yet be served by those who are truly sent forth by thee, that we may also be kept from running ourselves. Oh, that thou would keep thy church, Lord. Wilt thou give faithfulness to stand up against all of the errors which Satan would bring in, and also against all in our daily life that Satan does use for the downfall of thy church? Oh, give us to keep with the old ways, to walk in those paths which we have received from our forefathers. Lord, may thou remember all those that go forth to bring thy word on the mission fields. Thou knowest also our own field, and that soon also the place of thy servant will be empty there. Oh, that thou would yet send forth one that may labor in their midst. Oh, that thou may bind it upon the heart, that thou may call, Lord, that thou may give us also a supplication at thy throne of grace. Do look upon our government and all those that rule and reign over us. Do remember those that fight on the battlefields. Strengthen and uphold them in these troublous times. Wilt thou give solution to all the difficulties? Bring them safely home again to their loved ones at thy own appointed time. Wilt thou keep the enemy also away from us, here from our own land, Lord, that thou may not deal with us as we so justly deserve, when we have departed so far from thee also in an outward way. But wilt thou have mercy amidst the well-deserved wrath? Wilt thou go before us in this afternoon? Lord, help us to bring this a little portion of thy holy word. Oh, give us to receive a little freedom, a little liberty. May thou show thyself to be in the midst of us as one that doth serve. Wilt thou forgive and take away all that is sinful for Jesus' sake? Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 210, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. To God will I direct my prayer, and he will make my needs his care. I trust him still, though in my grief no answer yet has brought relief. With hands stretched out through all the night, uncomforted I sought for light. The last collection today is for the building fund, Psalter 210, 1, 2, 3, and 5. Congregation, the Lord Jesus has humbled himself to grant salvation unto his church. And that work that is now completely accomplished. And yet, there is a work that remains, which is the application. And then it is the third person in that Holy Trinity that is especially involved in that application of that work of Christ. But the Holy Spirit, when he works, is working through the offices within that church of God. Therefore, the Lord Jesus, when he first began his ministry here below, began by calling office bearers to serve in his church. And then not only to call them, but also to give each one of them that instruction that was necessary for them to do their labors, that they also may instruct others. And as we wish, with the help of the Lord in this afternoon, also to install office bearers, we wish to consider together John 6, verse 5. John 6, verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? So far the words of our text. Christ's question to Philip concerning the feeding of the multitude. First, the purpose of Christ in asking this question. Second, the wonder performed to answer this question. Christ's question to Philip concerning the feeding of the multitude. First, the purpose of Christ in asking this question. Second, the wonder performed to answer this question. Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Who, congregation, is speaking? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And to whom is he speaking? That is unto Philip. Of whom is he speaking? He is speaking of this multitude that we read that is following the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus has performed very many miracles in healing the sick. And we can read that many people have come from far to be healed of the Lord Jesus. And we read also that there were many coming and going, and that they had no leisure so much as to eat. Therefore, the Lord Jesus says to them, come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while. Thus, the Lord Jesus himself sees fit that also his office bearers would receive a little rest. And so they take a little boat and they go over the Sea of Galilee and they go to a desert place. There they may be all by themselves. But what do we read about this people? We read of this multitude and that they ran together on foot from all the cities and outwent them. Thus, the disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ do not receive that rest that they desire. Is the Lord Jesus angry, boys and girls? No, we don't read that at all. When we read that the Lord Jesus, that he has compassion on the multitude because they were as sheep that had no shepherd. Thus, he has pity upon them, and he again welcomes them. Once again, he goes forward in his labors, once again to heal the sick and to give instruction, we read, because he goes to teach them many things. And we have also to install office bearers in the church. And there are also many, many labors. And our flesh, that is sometimes also in that office, desiring rest. There was one of the servants of the Lord that he said of that work, that I become not tired of the work, but that I become tired sometimes in that work. And so it is. And yet not always do they receive that rest that they think that they need or that they that their flesh desires. But may they be given also that compassion and that the Lord Jesus had for that flock that did follow him. Compassion and a desire for the welfare of that flock over whom that the Lord has placed them, then it is necessary that a man is given self-denial. But the Lord Jesus here, we read, goes into a desert place. And now there were people that are following the Lord Jesus and his disciples into this desert place. We do not say that all of these people, all of this multitude, were true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can read later on in this chapter, and that many of these people, that they went away from the Lord Jesus. Thus they followed him only for a certain time. And then the Lord Jesus is preaching, and in his doctrine, we read that the Lord Jesus offends them. Therefore, they are departing from the Lord Jesus. And yet there is a people here, and that are following him, even to the neglect of their own bodily necessities. Do you know what that is, congregation? To follow him and to desire the word even to the neglect of your bodily necessities. We read that the Lord rebukes his church in the book of Revelations of leaving their first love. Then there is a people also within God's church that may speak and that may say what that first love is. And how that when the Lord is planting that love within their heart, that all the things of time and sense, and they are falling so far away that they would forget even to eat their bread. Then long into the night, young people, then sometimes when we are sleeping, then it is that people that are newly born and that have received a new hunger and a new thirst after God. Oh, do you know what that is? Because that is also in the days of our youth that the Lord is working. Did you ever open your Bible, boys and girls, young people, when you were awake at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, when your heart was hungering, when your heart was thirsting, no, not after all the food and the drink of this life, But when your heart was hungering and thirsting for another food, that is, a spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst, that is a people that we can read of in the Word of God, that the Lord will take complete care of for all the necessities of this life. No, not that they do not have to labor, because they have to work hard also in this world. But the Lord Jesus has instructed His children not to be over anxious about all the cares of this life, but to seek first that kingdom of God, and that all these other things, they would be added unto them. And so we see this people, and they cannot let the Lord Jesus go. And when He will go by ship, then they shall go by land. And then they are outrunning the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they come on the other side. And the Lord Jesus steps out of this ship with His disciples. And when He comes out of that ship, and He is standing next to one of His disciples, that is Philip, and then we read He poses to Philip this question: whence shall we buy bread in that these may eat? Why is it that the Lord Jesus asked this question? How is that, boys and girls? The Lord Jesus asks a question. You ask questions too, I hope, sometimes. And why do you ask questions? You ask questions because you don't know and you want to learn something. Did the Lord Jesus need to learn something? No, He knew. He knows everything. But your teacher also asks you questions sometimes. Why? Because they want to learn something? No. But they want to teach you something with their question. And so we read also now of the Lord Jesus. That is not so He may learn. But we read here why. And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Thus, the Lord Jesus, He is not only going to give food to this multitude, but the Lord Jesus is at the same time going to give instruction to His disciples. This He said to prove Him. And how often, congregation, does the Lord not prove His people in this world? Not only to give them instruction to teach them, but to prove them. To try His own work. To put His own work to the test, to bring, as it were, that faith that He has planted in their heart in the essence, that He may also bring that faith out in the exercise, in the practice. Then the Lord will prove them why. He will test the genuineness of that work. That is not for His sake, but that is for the sake of His church. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of those mountains that I will tell thee of. So the Lord will prove, so the Lord will try, so the Lord will prove the genuineness of His own work in the life of Abraham. This He said to prove him. We read elsewhere of the Lord Jesus proving His people. What did He say? it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. This he said to prove her. This he said to draw out his own work in the heart of this woman. This he said to prove him. This he says to refine his own work, to take away the dross. This he says that his own work may come forth as gold. This he said to prove him. This he says to instruct and to show what the remaining infirmities are in the life of his church. So he brings them into the wilderness, we read, that he may prove them. So he gives the men from Babylon to enter into that court of Hezekiah, that Hezekiah also may learn that when the Lord would stay away for one moment, then he shall fall. This he said to prove him. Therefore he said also to Peter, this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Oh, this he said to prove them. This he said to teach them a lesson. Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? So he asks of Philip. And yet Philip, he was one of the first disciples of the Lord Jesus. But Philip, he is a slow learner. How is that, people of the Lord? What did the Lord Jesus say later to Philip? He says later to him, Philip asks him, he says, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. What is the Lord Jesus' reply? He says, have I been so long with thee, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He who hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? And now, what is the answer of Philip upon this question? When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And then he answers, 200 pennyworth of bread shall not be sufficient for them, that every one may take a little. Congregation, what does man immediately begin to do? Immediately man begins to reason. He begins to figure in his mind. He looks upon that multitude. He thinks how much bread then is necessary for all these people to eat. And then how much money is all that bread going to cost? Or immediately, man begins to reason. And with all his reasoning, where can man come? He cannot come to any solution. With all his reasoning, man can only come further and further, deeper and deeper into an impossibility. Is that alone the case with Philip? No, because we don't read any better of Andrew. Andrew was also one of the first disciples of the Lord Jesus. We would say these were the most experienced among Jesus' disciples. And the Lord Jesus, he asks, how many loaves have you? Go and look. And we read the answer of Andrew, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" Oh, how grieved that the Lord himself must have been to have such disciples by his side day after day. And how many of his own people are not today the same? Oh, the disciples of the Lord, Philip, Andrew, do you not know who is asking you this question? Do you not know who is standing by you? That it is the Lord of all the earth. Know you not that with him is the cattle upon 1,000 hills? Do you not know his power? Do you not know his might? Do you not know his ability? That you must reason so in your hearts. You say the Lord Jesus has never done such a thing before. How is it possible that the disciples, they would even know that the Lord Jesus could perform such a miracle? That is true. At this time, the disciples had never seen such a thing in their whole life. But when we would read on a little, and then when we would come to that second time, then we see the second time when the Lord Jesus has fed 4,000, that it was no different with them. Whence, they said, shall we find so much bread in the wilderness for this people to eat? And after both times he had fed these multitudes of people, and then the Lord Jesus is speaking about the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, and then the disciples begin to reason among themselves. Why is he speaking so? It is because we have brought no bread. And thus the Lord Jesus, he speaks to them again. O ye, he says, of little faith, why are you reasoning among yourselves? Do ye not yet understand? O, the grief in the heart of Christ, when his church is not able to exercise that faith that he has planted within, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? What does Christ do? He makes those disciples feel how helpless that they are. He brings them to their wits' end, so they cannot see any way out of these circumstances, that they may feed this so great a multitude. Did the Lord ever bring you to your wits' end? And that you did not know how to come out of your circumstances? And not only does the Lord bring them to an end, but the Lord gives that they must confess that helplessness. The Lord gives that they were brought into circumstances. He is asking that question specifically so that those disciples, they have to say it out loud, how helpless that they are to do anything to deliver this people and to feed this people. And why is it that the Lord, he will make his people to confess this? Because he wants to receive the honor. And this being done, and then the Lord Jesus will come to their aid. And we see that in our second thought, the wonder performed to answer this question. And we don't have time to consider everything of this wonder, but, and now just a few remarks. In the first place, The Lord Jesus does not answer Philip and Andrew. He does not give them an answer with words. The Lord is going to work a miracle. The Lord is going to give them to experience it now in their own life, that they may behold and that they may see the wonders of the Lord. O people of the Lord, has the Lord not taught you to watch in all of his ways, that he may instruct you also in the ways of his providences? And then we read that the Lord Jesus took those loaves. He takes those loaves in his hands. Was that necessary, boys and girls? What do you think? That the Lord Jesus takes those few loaves and fishes that they had among themselves, and that he uses these loaves? Was that necessary? Did he need them? Could have performed the miracle without those loaves. And yet he does not. And therein he instructs us that when there are means available, that he himself has taken those means in his own hand, and that he himself has used those means. Thus he instructs his church to use the means when they are available, and yet not to be discouraged and not to be disheartened when there are no means, as if the Lord is not able to overcome every impossibility in the life of his church. See the poverty of the Lord Jesus in this life with his disciples. Because we read here that there are but a few loaves and fishes, all just a few. How much do we have? It is likely that this small portion that was carried by this boy was carried for the sake of the Lord Jesus and his disciples. Thus, that portion does show us something of the way that the disciples and Christ walked through this world. That was not with great abundance, and not only was it very small, but it was also very coarse, because these are, we read, barley loaves. And the barley loaves, they were actually very coarse bread loaves, and that were used mostly by those who were poor. And yet those disciples, they are not unwilling to share that little bit that they have. What do we read? We read that the Lord Jesus gives thanks. You do that too, young people? When you go off to college and when you go off to university, and when you are also among the multitude of people, also those people that do not go to church, maybe also among those people that will begin to mock with you, oh, then we don't need the approbation of the world. We don't need great food, nice things. No, what do we need? We need the blessing of the Lord. And for this reason, the Lord also instructs us here. To whom did the Lord Jesus now give this food for distribution? We read that he gives this food unto his disciples. Thus the Lord Jesus is not giving out this food directly, but the Lord Jesus is using men. He is giving that food unto other men. And the people, they may receive that food from those men. But where did that food come from? That food that has come out of the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so we read he has done within his church. That he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then he is not working without means in this way either. But that the Lord is using sinful men for the propagation of his truth within this world. That is, the Lord is filling the multitude of his people. And by using men in this life, will you receive it out of the hand of the Lord? Then we must receive it out of the hand of sinful men. Those who are chosen, those who are called by him. But now, congregation, the miracle. And what is now that miracle that the Lord Jesus here performed? That was to take those few small loaves and to multiply them. What does that mean? To multiply them. That he has taken that just a little bit. And that he has made that little bit into a great abundance. That he has taken that little bit which man would say that is insufficient to feed only a small portion of that people. And that the Lord has multiplied those loaves so that it was sufficient and in overabundance for every single person that may be in their midst. Thus, that was so far above the ability of any man, and so far above the expectation of any man that was fed by those loaves. That was not new. We read of that also in the Old Testament. That God's servant that is sent to a widow, she says, I have but one meal left. For me and for my son. And after we consume this meal, then we are going to die. But we can read that they have lived thereof under the blessing of the Lord, under the multiplication of the Lord, of that little bit of food, many days. So we see the impossibility of man. And the possibility and the might and the power of the Lord that is from his side. But congregation, that is for the natural life. And that is what we may see here. What the Lord Jesus has performed for that natural life. But now let us read further. You may do that when you come home. And then you will find that the Lord Jesus, after he performs this wonder, then he begins to speak about spiritual things. And then he begins to speak about the bread which came down from heaven. And then he says, if any man will eat of this bread, then he shall live forever. Thus, when we eat of the bread of this life, then we may live a little bit longer. But he says, and when we may eat of that bread, that spiritual bread, then he says that shall be a food that will give us an end in eternity of nourishment. Thus, the multiplication of that bread. And that those disciples or that multitude, they show who they are. Because when they have eaten of that earthly bread, then they were well satisfied. But after they have eaten of that bread and they begin to hear of the heavenly bread, then they are offended. Is that also the same with us? Then do we follow after the Lord Jesus? Do we follow after God so that He may give us all the blessings of this life? And have we no interest, have we no desire for that bread which came down from heaven? How different it was here with these disciples. Because the Lord Jesus then says to them, "Will you also go away?" And what is their answer? "To whom shall we go? Why? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Thus, this was the desire that was laying in the heart of those disciples, that they may eat not of this world, but that they may eat of those things of God. Congregation, we read of that Syrophoenician woman. What did she desire? She desired the crumbs that fell from that master's table. Oh, there is a people that in this world experience what the multiplication of the loaves means. Because when the people of the Lord, when they would sometimes speak and say now what they may have received or that which they may desire of the Lord, then in this world there is a people that mock. What is that? That is nothing. But there is a people that understand what that multiplication of those loaves is. What did David desire? David didn't desire great things. Do you know what David says? David said, "I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me." This congregation was a great wonder for David. Not that the Lord had spoken to him, not that the Lord had given him great things in this world or even great things in a spiritual way in the eyes of the world, no. But do you know what was a wonder to David? It was a wonder to David that the Lord even thought of him. Because David understood what that multiplication of the loaves is. That from the thought of God proceedeth every blessing of the Lord. And that that work that the Lord hath begun, that for him that would be surely done. Oh, when we think about Mephibosheth, boys and girls, read that again when you come home. What a blessed, blessed man that was. Everything was taken away from him. And King David did not do justly. In the end, he said, "Thou and Ziba divide the land." Do you know what we read? That blessed, blessed man, it mattered nothing to him. He said, "Let him take everything. He can have everything in this world, for as much as the king is come again in peace." Oh, for Mephibosheth, that the presence of David may be enjoyed by him. That was everything to him. And Mephibosheth may come again to sit at the table of the king. Or is there not a people that may desire only that they may have a little favor of the Lord? That the Lord may show that the Lord himself is favorable unto them? Then it is for them everything, that the Lord would not cast them away as they so justly deserve. Why? Because they see, because they feel something of those multiplication of those loaves. If God be for us, who can be against us? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Oh, that multiplication of the loaves. That woman with the issue of blood. What did she want to do? Oh, she says, if I only may touch that hem of his garment, why? Oh, because she knew that if she may receive that smallest blessing, if she may receive that smallest favor in her life, then she says, I shall be perfectly whole. Oh, what do we read about the people in the days of Peter? They were laying the sick in the streets. Why? That just the shadow of Peter. What is a shadow? A shadow is nothing. But that shadow of Peter might pass over them. And why? Oh, it is because of that multiplication of those loaves. It is because of the wonders of the Lord. And that when that church may receive the smallest favor of the Lord, then they have everything. Congregation, natural man. He is looking for the greatest things in the world. David says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the treasures of many wicked people. Why? Because of the multiplication of those loaves. The meek, he says, they shall eat and they shall be satisfied. Job, he says, oh, if I may only find him, because then I will order my cause before his judgment seat. Oh, if I may only come there where I may say it in order before the Lord, that I may unburden all that is lying on my heart. That meant everything for that man. Why? Oh, because he knew that when he had the ear of the Lord, then he had everything from the Lord. What did that centurion say? Lord, just speak one word, and then I shall have all my desire. Congregation, what is now laying in our hearts? Oh, through the operation of the Holy Spirit, what is the Lord pleased to do through the offices within his church? Oh, then the Lord is pleased to give eternal blessings. Blessings that will never pass away. And they may seem so small. And this time or that time in the house of God, that may seem so insignificant. But never miss. Why? Because when the Lord will speak but one word, when the Lord will give but one small blessing, then you shall receive everything out of that hand of the Lord. Oh, that is a people. They shall gather together the fragments we read here. 12 baskets full. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, but he has laid away for that people. That may trust in him, may that be also our portion to be received through the offices instituted by him. Amen. Let us sing from Psalter 164, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. My spirit thirsts thy grace to taste, an exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be, in which no waters be. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 164. We will now read the form for ordination of elders and deacons, which can be found on page 70 or 145 in the back of your Psalter. Beloved Christians, you know that we have several times published unto you the names of our brethren here present who are chosen to the office of elders and deacons in this church, to the end that we might know whether any person hath aught to allege why they should not be ordained in their respective offices. And whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against them, we shall therefore at present in the name of the Lord proceed to their ordination. But first, you who are to be ordained and all those who are here present shall attend to a short declaration from the Word of God concerning the institution and the office of elders and deacons. Of the elders, it is to be observed that the word elder or eldest, which is taken from the Old Testament and signifieth a person who is placed in an honorable office of government over others, is applied to two sorts of persons who minister in the Church of Jesus Christ. For the apostle saith, the elders that rule well and shall be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Hence it is evident that there were two sorts of elders in the apostolic church. The former whereof did labor in the word and doctrine, and the latter did not. The first were the ministers of the word and pastors, who preached the gospel and administered the sacraments. But the others, who did not labor in the word and still did serve in the church, bore a particular office, namely, they had the oversight of the church and ruled the same with the ministers of the word. For Paul, Romans 12, having spoken of the ministry of the word and also of the office of distribution or deaconship, speaketh afterwards particularly of this office, saying, he that ruleth, let him do it with diligence. Likewise, in another place, he counts government among the gifts and offices which God hath instituted in the church, 1 Corinthians 12. Thus we see that these sorts of ministers are added to the others who preach the gospel to aid and assist them, as in the Old Testament the common Levites were to the priests in the service of the tabernacle, in those things which they could not perform alone. Notwithstanding, the offices always remain distinct one from the other. Moreover, it is proper that such men should be joined to the ministers of the word in the government of the church, to the end thereby all tyranny and lording may be kept out of the church of God, which may sooner creep in when the government is placed in the hands of one alone or of a very few. And thus the ministers of the word, together with the elders, form a body or assembly, being as a council of the church, representing the whole church, to which Christ alludes when he saith, tell the church, which can be in no wise understood of all and every member of the church in particular, but very properly of those who govern the church out of which they are chosen. Therefore, in the first place, the office of elders is, together with the ministers of the word, to take the oversight of the church which is committed to them, and diligently to look whether every one properly deports himself in his confession and conversation, to admonish those who behave themselves disorderly, and to prevent as much as possible the sacraments from being profaned. Also to act, according to the Christian discipline, against the impenitent, and to receive the penitent again into the bosom of the church, as doth not only appear from the above-mentioned saying of Christ, but also from many other places of Holy Writ, as 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 2, that these things are not alone entrusted to one or two persons, but to many who are ordained thereto. Secondly, since the apostle enjoineth that all things shall be done decently and in order among Christians, and that no other persons ought to serve in the church of Christ but those who are lawfully called according to the Christian ordinance, therefore it is also the duty of the elders to pay regard to it, and in all occurrences which relate to the welfare and good order of the church, to be assistant with their good counsel and advice to the ministers of the word, yea, also to serve all Christians with advice and consolation. Thirdly, it is also the duty, particularly, to have regard unto the doctrine and conversation of the ministers of the word, to the end that all things may be directed to the edification of the church, and that no strange doctrine be taught, according to that which we read, Acts 20, where the apostle exhorteth to watch diligently against the wolves which might come into the sheepfold of Christ, for the performance of which the elders are in duty bound diligently to search the word of God and continually be meditating on the mysteries of faith. Concerning the deacons, of the origin and institution of their office, we may read Acts 6, where we find that the apostles themselves did in the beginning serve the poor, at whose feet was brought the price of the things that were sold, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. But afterwards, when a murmuring arose because the widows of the Grecians were neglected in the daily ministrations, men were chosen by the advice of the apostles, who should make the service of the poor their peculiar business, to the end that the apostles might continually give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. This has been continued from that time forward in the church, as appears from Romans 12, where the apostle, speaking of this office, saith, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, speaking of helps, he means those who are appointed in the church to help and assist the poor and indigent in time of need. From which passage we may easily gather what the deacon's office is, namely, that they in the first place collect and preserve with the greatest fidelity and diligence the alms and goods which are given to the poor, yea, to do their utmost endeavors, that many good means may be procured for the relief of the poor. The second part of their office consists of distribution, wherein are not only required discretion and prudence to bestow the alms only on objects of charity, but also cheerfulness and simplicity to assist the poor with compassion and hearty affection, as the apostle requires, Romans 12, verse 2, Romans 12, 2 Corinthians 9. For which end it is very beneficial that they do not only administer relief to the poor and indigent with external gifts, but also with comfortable words from Scripture. I now ask those to be installed to arise. To the end, therefore, beloved brethren, Mr. Gerald Brunn and Mr. Ben Outshorn, that everyone may hear that you are willing to take your respective offices upon you, ye shall answer to the following questions. And in the first place, I ask you, both elder and deacon, and whether you do not feel in your hearts that ye are lawfully called of God's church, and consequently of God himself, to these your respective holy offices. Secondly, whether ye believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only word of God, and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and do reject all doctrines repugnant thereto. Thirdly, whether ye promise agreeably to said doctrine, faithfully according to your ability to discharge your respective offices, as they are here described, the elder in the government of the church together with the ministers of the word, and ye deacon in the ministration to the poor, do ye also jointly promise to walk in all godliness and to submit yourselves, in case ye should become remiss in your duty to the admonition of the church. What is your answer, Mr. Gerald Brunn? Yes. Mr. Ben Outshorn? Yes. The Almighty God and Father replenish you both with His grace, that you may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your offices. Brothers, once again in this afternoon, you may be reinstalled in your offices. It is not for you the first time, but it is a reinstallation. When the Lord Jesus went with his disciples to seek rest, then he did not receive that rest. And you also had come to the end of your term. It can be that our flesh desires rest, and yet it is the will of the Lord in that you again would serve within his church. And now the Lord Jesus, we read, he saw that great company of people. Then it was as if that he shows his disciple, he shows Philip, that he lifts up his eyes and he says to him, as it were, look now upon this great multitude of people. It is as if that he lays now the weight of that multitude upon the shoulders of that man. And we know that when King Solomon was young, that it was also the welfare of that people of the Lord that was bound on his heart and that drove him to that throne of grace. And then it was not only that multitude of people, but it was also the condition of that people that the Lord is laying before his disciple, that also that condition of that church, as it were, that is being laid on the weight of on the shoulders of the office bearers, and that responsibility that is indeed being laid upon us as office bearers, and upon you now by renewal, by the Lord himself. And what did the Lord Jesus now give his disciples to feel? Their helplessness. That he said to them, whence shall we now buy bread that these may eat? And then how often is it that the Lord is not giving us to feel something also of our own helplessness, and how heavy and that weight it can feel, especially when we feel that we have nothing from our own side to begin to give food unto that people of the Lord. And then we feel something of our own insufficiency. We read at one point that the disciples said to the Lord Jesus, send the multitude away, that they may go to buy bread. And maybe it is also that we say by times, Lord, wilt thou take me out? Wilt thou relieve me of the responsibility that is placed upon my shoulders? And now, it was not the will of the Lord to do so. The Lord Jesus refused to send that people away. And the Lord now brings you again into this office. And now when he brings you into this office, then he brings you there May it be also as those disciples who had to feel how empty that their hands were. Then it was not only once, but we know that every time again, those disciples, they had to go back to the Lord Jesus, that they may receive food once again from Him, and that they may be only a little instrument in the hand of the Lord for the feeding, for the welfare, to the upbuilding of His own church. What a privilege that we may be such an instrument in that hand of the Lord. And we hope and that you may also receive that in that office, that you may ask, that you may go to Him who is able to multiply the loaves. And then we know what burdens there are within your own hearts, and when you have to serve in that office. But the Lord is also able to come over, and the Lord is also able to give what is necessary in a personal way, that you may be able to feed others. May the Lord remember you, strengthen you, and help you in that office in which you are placed by Him. Congregation, receive these men, not as angels of the Lord. No, the disciples they received from the Lord Jesus, but coarse bread. And that coarse bread, and they may give out to the multitude. And the Lord is not giving unto His office bearers so many gifts oftentimes. But they are still called by Him. And now if there may only be some hunger, that's what was in the heart of those of that multitude. If there may be only now hunger on your part, then what a blessing that the offices in the church of God may be for you. And we hope that you may experience, and that all of us may experience together, what it is to be humbled under the blessings of the Lord, and that we may feel our own need as office bearers and as congregation, and that together we may receive an overabundance, enough to fill every single one, not with blessings for this life, but with those blessings that shall last to eternity. We ask the congregation to stand and to sing Psalter 473, stanza 3, standing. Let peace be found within thy walls, and in thy palaces repose. Jehovah, bless and prosper those who dwell within thy favored halls. For friends and brethren, I will say, and let peace abide in thee for a. And what follows in 447, stanza 3. Peace abide in thee. by reason of his temple fair, and for the mercy proffered there, therefore, ye elders, be diligent in the government of the church which is committed to you and the ministers of the word. Be also as watchmen over the house and city of God, faithful to admonish and to caution every one against his ruin. Take heed that purity of doctrine and godliness of life be maintained in the church of God. And ye deacons, be diligent in collecting the alms, prudent and cheerful in the distribution of the same. Assist the oppressed, provide for the true widows and orphans. Show liberality unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Be all with one accord faithful in your offices, and hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, being good examples unto all the people. In so doing, you will purchase to yourselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus, and hereafter enter into the joy of our Lord. On the other hand, beloved Christians, receive these men as the servants of God. Count the elders that rule well worthy of double honor. Give yourselves willingly to their inspection and government. Provide the deacons with good means to assist the indigent. Be charitable, ye rich. Give liberally and contribute willingly. And ye poor, be poor in spirit and deport yourselves respectfully towards your benefactors. Be thankful to them and avoid murmuring. Follow Christ for the food of your souls, but not for bread. Let him that hath stolen, who hath been burdensome to his neighbors, steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may give to him that needeth. Each of you, doing these things in your respective callings, shall receive of the Lord the reward of righteousness. But since we are unable of ourselves, let us call upon the name of the Lord, and at the same time close this service. O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that it hath pleased Thee for the better edification of Thy church to ordain in it, besides the ministers of the word, rulers and assistants, by whom thy church may be preserved in peace and prosperity, and the indigent assisted. And that thou hast at present granted us in this place men who are of good testimony, and we hope endowed with thy spirit. We beseech thee, replenish them more and more with such gifts as are necessary for them in their ministration, with the gifts of wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence, to the end that every one may in his respective office acquit himself as is becoming the elders, in taking diligent heed unto the doctrine and conversation, in keeping out the wolves from the sheepfold of thy beloved Son, and in admonishing and reproving disorderly persons. In like manner, the deacons, in carefully receiving and liberally and prudently distributing of the alms to the poor, and in comforting them with thy holy word, give grace both to the elders and deacons, that they may persevere in their faithful labor, and never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution of the world. Grant also especially thy divine grace to this people, over whom they are placed, that they may willingly submit themselves to the good exhortations of the elders, counting them worthy of honor for their work's sake, and give also unto the rich liberal hearts towards the poor, and to the poor grateful hearts towards those who help and serve them, to the end that every one, acquitting himself of his duty, thy holy name may thereby be magnified, and the kingdom of thy Son Jesus Christ enlarged, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 417, stanzas 1 and 3. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where neath thy wing I'll be supplied. With grace thou wilt provide. 1 and 3 of Psalter 417.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.